The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, look, it's an entertainment business. Are you not entertained? It's entertaining. Bring in Cam Newton. What the hell? Who cares if it helps the football team win games? You get the fan base excited, and now it's for the coaching staff to figure out how to use him. But they had a need. And David Tepper, the owner of the team, Peter, is in franchise quarterback treasure hunt mode. And he is going to look anywhere he can, under any rock that he can lift, to try to find a franchise quarterback. Tried it with Teddy Bridgewater, didn't work. Sam Darnold, didn't work. Half a season with Cam Newton, unlikely that Newton will be the guy next year, but at least gets us through this year. And who knows? Who knows what we'll see in Cam Newton? Who knows? What the hell? But meanwhile, they don't have to worry about Darnold. They don't have to worry about PJ Walker. And they do get a little boost as they go down the stretch. And Christian McCaffrey's healthy again. And they're in the NFC, wide open for the 7th seed, and you could maybe even put the 6th seed in that category as well. We know who the 5 best teams in the NFC are. Beyond that, who knows? Well, there's 2 playoff spots for who knows. And maybe the Panthers with Cam Newton, it all lines up, and they can make a run at this. I was stunned by the news, and I'm delighted by it. It makes it, we talked earlier about fun, something like this is fun to me.
I don't mean to be the one who is passing gas in Mike, but I do want to just point one thing out. The Carolina Panthers guaranteed $4.5 million to a quarterback who's been on the street for 2 months, who has had little, if any, interest in him, and who last year played for the New England Patriots when he was only slightly tarnished, for a total of $3.75 million. I just want to know, why do you pay Cam Newton that much money guaranteed for half a season of football? I am mind-boggled. I'm befuddled. Maybe it's you're trying to make up and kiss and make up with the guy, and so you give him enough money to buy his dream house in Turks and Caicos. I don't know. But I thought that was the, in a year when the salary cap is shrinking drastically, for anybody to guarantee Cam Newton for half a season that amount of money is just weird.
Well, but we got to look at the full context here. One of the reasons he was available for 2 months was because the planets had to line up perfectly. No one was going to sign him to be a backup. He wasn't going to sign to be a backup. It had to be a situation where starting quarterback done, and the next man up is somebody that you really don't want to be your starting quarterback. So Darnold injured, and even if he's not injured, even if he's just injured, they're done with him. PJ Walker, not the answer for half of a season when you're still very much alive for a wild card berth. So, perfect opportunity for Cam Newton. perfect chance for him to come home. And that $4.5 million could be money well spent because the ticket demand in Carolina has already spiked. It's a great homecoming feel for a guy who was the MVP of the league in 2015 and was with the Panthers for a decade. And, you know, we'll see what he's got left in the tank. There were mixed opinions around the league as to how close to E the needle is for Cam Newton. Well, he's going to have a chance to show it. And you know, this is my I made this argument when the Colts signed Phillip Rivers and gave him $25 million, the same $25 million that Drew Brees got last year and that Tom Brady got last year. And I said that Phillip Rivers should basically wear a ski mask the entire season. Part of what you need to do is you got to pay your quarterback in a way that makes sure there's no doubt that he's the man. And with Cam Newton, he walks through the door, he's the man. You got to give him a contract that supports the idea that he's the man. And now they'll see. They'll see whether or not it works. I think it's going to be fun to watch.
I mean, I guess so. I watched Cam Newton play football last year. Did you?
Yes.
I mean, and look, I think probably.
Why'd they re-sign him, Peter? Peter, why'd they re-sign him then? Why did the Patriots re-sign him and go through that charade if he was so bad last year? Cam Newton. Why didn't they just say, see you later?
Because it's better than Brian Hoyer. That's why. It's better than Brian Hoyer, and they signed him for a song. They signed him for nothing.
No, Peter, they had other options. There were other guys out there. There were free agents galore at the quarterback position. There are guys out there. I'm just saying, if they decided Cam Newton was a failure, they would have never re-signed him.
But Mike, he did not play well in any way, shape, or form. He ran for a few touchdowns. How did he throw the ball? Was he reliable? Was he great? No, he wasn't. Yeah. He had a lousy year in New England. And the only point I'm making is that in the NFL, in my opinion, I'm not sure why you pay all that money for a guy when you don't have to. If Cam Newton is going to demand all this money, just say, hey, listen, this is the only place you're going to have an opportunity with a team remotely on the edge of a playoff race. And also, here's my other question. David Tepper has now paid all this money for, and I forget who tweeted it yesterday, they've paid a lot of money for a replacement for Cam Newton, and now they've paid money, $4.5 million, for Cam Newton to replace the guy who was supposed to replace Cam Newton. And so on and on and on it goes. And what have they done? They're selling the farm. You know, they're spending all this money for, what, a 40% chance to win the seventh seed and to get blown out by whoever in the first round of the playoffs? I don't know, Mike. I'm not a big fan of this move at all.
Well, David Tepper is a guy who is very aggressive, and he is determined. And this has resonated with me for 3 or 4 years now. Whenever they were the target of the All or Nothing series from Amazon that has gone away, and I don't think it's coming back, unfortunately, although the in-season Hard Knocks debuts next week. David Tepper, riding in the back of an SUV, said that the league is set up for all teams to be 8-8, and you bend it in your favor with a great coach, a great GM, and most importantly, a great quarterback. He's determined to get that great quarterback. He wanted Deshaun Watson. It didn't work out. And I'm not saying that David Tepper is so misinformed that he thinks Cam Newton is going to come back and be the guy for the next decade, but he's a guy that can at least be the placeholder while they continue their search in the offseason, whether it's Deshaun Watson or someone else who can come in and be their franchise quarterback, but they still have to get through the games. They want the stadium to be full. They want the fan base to be engaged. And I think that's why he's decided midway through the season, I got to scrap what was plan A for this year. We already know that plan A for this year is a failure. Let's make chicken salad and let's get to April and we'll go back to the lab and figure out who our quarterback is. And Peter, look, to your point, if this ends up being a disaster, I was on radio in Charlotte the other day, and they were asking me if Matt Rhule's on the hot seat. And it's like, there's no way in hell he's on the hot seat. He's 2 years into his contract. They're paying him $9 million a year. But you know what? One thing we've learned about David Tepper, he doesn't wait to admit a mistake. He doesn't wait to double down and see if it gets better. Once he decides you're not the guy, you're done. You're gone. So if I'm Matt Rhule, I don't want to be the subject of that evaluation after the season from a guy who, right or wrong, like it or not, he is not going to be very patient. We've seen it with quarterbacks, and now we've seen this impulsive move to get Cam Newton. Matt Rhule better make the best batch of chicken salad he can, because I think at some level it's going to creep into David Tepper's thought process. Maybe I didn't get the right coach. So it's going to be a fascinating rest of the season.
David Tepper also studied at the altar of the Rooneys, and he's not firing Matt Rhule after 2 years unless Matt Rhule puts
so did Jimmy Haslam
and robs a
so did so did Jimmy Haslam Peter Jimmy Haslam studied at the altar of the Rooneys too, and look what happened there.
Right.
I'm just telling you, these guys get impatient.
I do understand
they get impatient.
I do understand that, but the first coaches who Jimmy Haslam hired were not Matt Rhule. Were not going to Waco, Texas, and sitting in his living room and offering him $9 million a year to not go interview with the New York Giants, but to come back on a plane and get introduced as the coach of the Carolina Panthers. He's not firing Matt Rhule if the rest of this year is a debacle. Now, I don't know why they gave Matt Rhule or they gave Cam Newton all this money. I don't know why. But I have.
Maybe it's the same reason they gave Matt Rhule all the money. Maybe the guy with billions just pisses away money. Maybe that's the explanation.
There's more where that came from.
What are they?
I have my suspicions that David Tepper photographed with Cam Newton was somewhere in the foreground of making that decision of giving him all this money, which is just it's Mike. It's mind boggling. It just is. Yeah. I'm sorry. There's no other way for me to look at it.
Peter, I reject now and forever this notion that we hear from time to time that owners aren't involved in football decisions. I've hired people for that. I don't tell them what to do. Bull crap. The owners make known what they want. One of the privileges of being a billionaire is you don't have to ever give a direct order. The people around you who are smart figure out what you want, and if they want to continue to work for you, they do it. And Tepper probably isn't even that subtle. This is his team. He's going to do what he wants with that team. If he wants to waste money on Teddy Bridgewater, he'll do it. If he wants to waste money on Sam Darnold, who he owes $18 million next year, guaranteed, fully and completely, he'll do it. He'll do whatever the hell he wants, because that's the mindset of the oligarch. That's how it is. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's not. I'd love to be an oligarch. Please give me the roadmap to become an oligarch. The life of an oligarch is great. You can spend however much money you want on whatever you want. You want something, whatever it costs, go get it. You want Matt Rhule? You don't want him to go to the Giants? What's it take? $9 million? Who the hell cares? There's no salary cap for coaches. I got plenty. I got billions. I'll pay the guy $9 million a year. So I'm just saying, we have a personality coaching or owning a team that is erratic and unpredictable in a fun way for me, because I like that element because it keeps things very interesting. And if you don't have David Tepper owning that team, I don't think they make that move yesterday, Peter.
Mike, just follow my logic here for a second, because it's illogical logic. The Carolina Panthers, most likely, in a span of 25 months, are going to pay $63 million to Teddy Bridgewater, which, however much he earned of that, whatever it is, right? You're going to pay a lot to Teddy Bridgewater to replace Cam Newton. Then they're going to pay $18 million next year guaranteed for a player, Sam Darnold, who they thought might replace Cam Newton and Teddy Bridgewater. And now they're bringing in Cam Newton, a tarnished former hero, and guaranteeing him money that no one else in the league was ever going to come close to replace Sam Darnold, who couldn't replace Teddy Bridgewater, who couldn't replace Cam Newton. And you know what's going to happen next March? They're going to be all in on any quarterback who is warm-blooded and who has a chance to be their long-term quarterback. I mean, at some point, don't you get a little bit dizzy from all the mistakes that they make evaluating the quarterback position?
Hey, Peter, I'll add this. If Deshaun Watson had been willing to trade or waive his no-trade clause and go to the Panthers, they would have given the Texans whatever they want, and they would have taken on Deshaun Watson without regard to the 22 pending civil complaints or the 10 criminal complaints. They weren't batting an eye. That was where it was postured a couple of weeks ago, where the Dolphins wanted the cases to be settled. David Tepper and the Panthers were there saying, hey, Deshaun, come here. We don't care. We're fine. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll give the Texans what they want. Let's do it. So he's desperate to get a top five quarterback. And the thing is, he's going to keep swinging the bat until it happens. And he may clunk himself in the head a few times along the way, but he's not going to stop. And right or wrong, it's fascinating that there's an owner who is that hell-bent on getting a franchise quarterback that he is willing to be that aggressive to the point where millions are being poured down a dry hole.
I mean, my only point, and the reason we're talking about this today, is that they made a decision yesterday that I just frankly do not understand in any way. And look, I will understand it, I suppose, if Cam Newton plays at his 2015 level. And I'll tell you what, it'll be the comeback story of any year if he does. And good luck to them. And look, I'm not wishing them ill in any way, but I just think logically this thing yesterday makes no sense.
When we return, the quarterback who's coming back from a serious finger injury against the quarterback who passed gas in the church of the NFL. We'll discuss that when PFT Live. If you just tuned in, you probably wondered, what the hell is this guy talking about? Hopefully you've been with us the last 10 minutes. More PFT Live right after this.
Yeah, I feel great. I feel really close. I'm not 100% yet, but I'm pretty dang close. I would say I'm the 90 percentile, if not higher. I feel great. I got great conviction about what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. My mindset's better than ever, ready to roll, and ready to go.
Russell Wilson is back. Mallet finger healed. Pin removed. Cleared and good to go. Full go in practice this week. And it's a big one for the Seahawks. 3-5. Coming out of their bye. Going to Green Bay to face the 7-2 Packers, who presumably will have Aaron Rodgers. Now, he said earlier this week on Pat McAfee's show that there's a slight possibility he won't play because of cardiovascular issues, heart concern, under exertion after coming off of the COVID reserve list. It was Chandler Jones who missed one game due to having COVID, missed another game due to the effects of having COVID. So it's not a done deal yet that we will see Aaron Rodgers, but I think it'll be a stunner if he doesn't play. And big game for both teams, Peter. Huge game for the Seahawks, though, who have not won at Lambeau Field since 1999, Mike Holmgren's first year after he defected from Green Bay.
You know, when I look at this game, it's sort of a stunning situation to be in right now because, I mean, it's easy to basically isolate on the quarterback matchup. And I totally understand why everybody is looking at the quarterback matchup, as well they should. But I think in the bigger picture, you look at Seattle at being 3-5 right now. And Seattle's in the same position right now as the San Francisco 49ers are. And I don't think anybody expected these two teams to be in mid-season, both having a borderline must win in the middle of November. But how, if you're San Francisco or Seattle, do you come back from a sixth loss, especially with the schedule that Seattle faces down the stretch? So this is the kind of game that I understand that maybe Aaron Rodgers plays in the game and is not what he normally would be. And hey, if I were Seattle and I were Ken Norton, who's under a great amount of pressure as the defensive coordinator, I'd be blitzing the heck out of Aaron Rodgers. I would make him run around a lot. Do not give him any peace in the pocket, even if it means that you're going to get beat on some deep balls because Aaron Rodgers loves it when teams blitz. The cumulative effect of that blitz, in my opinion, would be really advantageous to Seattle on Sunday. And as far as Wilson goes, look, as much as any time in his career, he's got to put his team on his back and get the fourth win of the season for the Seattle Seahawks.
Peter, you make an excellent point about the blitz. And if anyone from the Seahawks was watching the Thursday night game, maybe they saw it as some sort of a sign that Jamal Adams should blitz on every single snap. Aaron Rodgers. Wear him out. Let's see what kind of shape he's in. That's a great point. I mean, look, they're just trying to win a football game. You know, sorry, Aaron Rodgers, you were out for 10 days. Sorry, Aaron Rodgers, maybe you're not in the shape you need to be in. Sorry, Aaron Rodgers, maybe you got some after effects of COVID. We're coming after you with everything we have. And maybe that's why Matt LaFleur earlier in the week suggested that both quarterbacks will play. Maybe they will manage him. Maybe they will recognize that Aaron Rodgers isn't 100% game condition after this unexpected trip to the COVID list, especially if the Seahawks do what you're suggesting. And they should. Harass him and chase him and force him to run. Force that body to work when it's been sitting on a couch for 10 days.
Look, you can say, if you're looking at schedules down the stretch, that, look, Seattle, this is a must-win. Seattle's got Arizona twice the rest of the way. They got the Rams once the rest of the way. And so this is a really, really important game. But I would also make this point about how, and I don't mean to be Kevin Bacon in Animal House saying all is well, but I will make this point about their schedule the rest of the way. Washington, Houston, Chicago, Detroit. So they have some games on their schedule the rest of the way that they know they can get fat on. But they can't just look at their schedule as a 3-5 team and say, well, we've got some comfort down the stretch. You got to pile up wins. You've got to win a couple of games that you have no business winning. This Sunday is one of those games.
Absolutely. One of the great games of the week. And it will tell us a lot about where both teams currently are. Let's take a break. We will rip through some of the other big matchups for Week 10 when this Friday edition of PFT Live continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again! Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury.
I'm gonna shine my way.
The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
Personally, on a more personal note, not only are you preparing for the Jags, I'm pretty sure you're preparing to be the dad of two.
Yeah.
Any day now, I saw your wife in the elevator. I think she said 10 days on Thursday, which would mark this weekend.
Yeah.
Coming up, what's that been like for you this week as you kind of handle both and get ready for that? Is your phone on loud? Do you have someone like at practice making sure someone's watching your phone?
Yeah, if I talked to Coach early this week, you know, I could get a call at any point here. We're excited. We're excited as a family. You know, if it comes down to a game, I told my wife, I'm playing, and then I'll see you at the hospital afterwards. And she knew that. She knew that. She's been great, but coach has been understanding with meetings and everything. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. You know, confident God will time it up the way it's supposed to work out.
Intensely personal decision that everyone has to make in that setting. Do you play or do you not play? Carson Wentz has made that decision. We have made the decision that it's time for today's speed round, brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the NFL. Peter, let's get to it. Wow, the Browns at the Patriots, both teams 5-4. Are you buying the Patriots after three straight wins, or do you need to see more?
I'm definitely buying them. Last weekend, a coach I respect a lot, a head coach I respect a lot. This is before Buffalo went to Jacksonville and lost 9-6. Told me he thought that New England is the best team in the division and that New England would win the AFC East. And I think the one thing, and everybody's going to say, well, wait a second. Mac Jones over Josh Allen. I will just say this. Look at how the New England defense is playing right now. There's a reason that they were able to say goodbye to Stephon Gilmore without much emotion. They are loaded on defense right now. And my feeling is that defense is going to carry him the rest of the way. And obviously, every week is a new test. But my feeling is right now New England is headed for, at worst, in the AFC, the fifth seed.
And they are a team that you are not going to want to see in the postseason, not with all the experience that Bill Belichick has. And I don't care that the quarterback is a rookie. He won't be a rookie by the time the playoffs roll around. He will have had 17 games under his belt, and it won't matter because it's Belichick time when we get to single elimination. The Browns, after getting a big win in Cincinnati, and look, this is a great test of Kevin Stefanski versus Bill Belichick, but I'm with you. I think the Patriots, they're better than I thought they would be right now, and I only see them getting better as the season continues to unfold. The Saints, 5-3. They had a loss last week after winning three in a row. The Titans have won five in a row. They're at home. They're favored. They've been underdogs four straight games and had won every one of them. Will the Titans get to their sixth straight victory, Peter?
I think the Titans get to their sixth straight victory because right now I just don't trust what New Orleans can do in the passing game. I'm not sure that Sean Payton knows. I think he wakes up in the morning and plays left brain, right brain, Trevor Siemian, Taysom Hill. And I think he knows right now that no matter who he plays, he's not going to be able to use his full playbook, essentially. And so that is, I think, going to hurt the New Orleans offense the rest of the year. Basically having to, kind of scotch tape a game plan together because you're not positive that your quarterbacks can run everything in it. Conversely, what I saw last weekend in a very physical Tennessee team at the Rams is that this is a team that can disrupt what any offense can do. And on the other side, the terminally underrated Ryan Tannehill is good enough to handle whatever he needs to handle with Derrick Henry out. I like Tennessee.
Yeah, boy, Sean Payton would love to have Ryan Tannehill right now without Jameis Winston, with Trevor Siemian and or Taysom Hill. It sure feels like the Saints are going to be in the mix for a big-time quarterback in the offseason. But for now, I never underestimate Sean Payton, but this just seems like a tough spot for the Saints. The Titans, I think that loss to the Jets, which was the last time they've lost, I think it has taught them that very important lesson that other good teams are losing sight of repeatedly, whether it was the Ravens last night, the Bills on Sunday, the Cowboys on Sunday, whatever the case may be. Every game needs to be approached as a standalone must win, and you have to take every opponent seriously. Not that the Titans wouldn't take the Saints seriously, but I think the Titans have mastered the art of one game at a time. We hear that cliche, 1-0, 1-0. We're just trying to go 1-0. The Titans have found a groove where they are going 1-0 and they understand the importance of that mindset. 1-0. Forget about what you did. Forget about what's to come. Focus on right now. And that's why I like the Titans to continue this streak that they're on. The Vikings, different kind of streak. They've lost 2 in a row. Games they could have won. Games they should have won. But they're 3-5. They go to face the Chargers in SoFi Stadium. First time the Vikings have ever played there. Probably plenty of Vikings fans in attendance because it's the Chargers and they don't get a lot of their own people to show up. Do we see another heartbreaker for the Vikings? And the way the formula's gone, Peter, double-digit lead, fourth quarter, lead evaporates, and then Vikings scramble to pull a rabbit out of their butts. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
You know, Mike, I remember before the year when I was ranking the teams 1-32, and I ranked the Vikings fairly low, somewhere I think in the the early 20s, something like that. And I got a lot of email from people saying you are vastly underrating their defense. They're going to get all these people back. They're going to have this guy back and that guy and all that stuff. And honestly, when I look at disappointing units in the NFL this year, the Minnesota Vikings defense has to be in the top five easily. You know, for the Vikings, with the amount of money they have devoted to their defense, with the draft capital that they've devoted to their defense, to be 28th in the NFL right now in defense, to be given up whatever it is, 26 points a game, whatever the number is just... is not acceptable. I don't know any other way to put it. And that's why I think, you know, this is going to have to be a game where Kirk Cousins has to say to himself mentally coming in, we're playing a pretty good defense with a very good secondary, and we have to come into this game knowing that we got to score in the 30s to have a good chance to win. Because I can just imagine that Justin Herbert sees an awful lot of opportunities when he studies the film of the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, and I think the Vikings will score in the 30s, and I think it'll look like they're going to win at one point. And then, you know, 5 minutes left, it's all going to fall apart, and they'll have a chance to win at the end. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It's a recipe for 9-8, 8-9, 10-7, 7-10. Maybe they have a chance to make a run at the 7th seed, but this team just has no consistency other than being consistently inconsistent, and that's one of the reasons why they're 3-5. Raiders, 5-3. Chiefs, 5-4. Sunday Night Football in Las Vegas. Will the Chiefs' struggles continue, or are they on the verge of figuring it out? You know, these other teams in the division creating an opening for the Chiefs to run with it. This is their opportunity on Sunday night. Do you think they take advantage?
I like the Raiders in this game. I think they're a lot better than they showed last week. I went to the game at the Meadowlands, and that was not the Derek Carr that I've seen. Derek Carr has played two bad games this year. One was against Chicago and one was against the Giants. And the overthrows, the underthrows on the Xavier McKinney second interception just was weird, very un-Derek Carr-like. And whether it has anything to do with Henry Ruggs, I don't know. But what does it matter? It is what it is. Now he's got DeSean Jackson. I'm sure that there will be a package of plays this week for DeSean Jackson. Remember, they wanted Zay Jones to play the same role as Henry Ruggs. I watched Zay Jones every snap in that game. He doesn't have take the top off the defense speed, and he couldn't do it. So they go out and get DeSean Jackson. And I would just say one thing to the Raiders. Be careful with DeSean Jackson. You know, he can't play a lot of snaps. It's almost like, I mean, if they want him to be an every down receiver, they're not going to have him for very many weeks of this season. He'll get hurt. He's 35 years old or whatever he is. And as far as the Chiefs go, the only thing I would say is that the longer that it happens that they struggle on offense, and to say they've struggled on offense is an understatement, 12.3 points a game in the last 3 weeks, the longer they go, the more it has to hit them mentally. How in the world can we get out of this?
And you know, I feel like eventually they will. And maybe maybe their problem is they just assume they will. Maybe at some point they just have to adjust to who they are and work within that. And I think there were some signs of that last week, maybe putting some restrictions on Patrick Mahomes. I still think that the toe's not right. I think that's the explanation. I think he's lost that little bit of an edge that made him extra special, and now he's just special. And I don't know that that toe anytime soon is going to be back to the point where he can be the guy that we saw 2018, 2019, 2020. Real quickly, the Falcons at the Cowboys. I think what happened on Sunday to Dallas was an aberration. The Falcons are playing very well. I just think this is the worst time to face the Cowboys because they probably heard it all week long from Mike McCarthy and anyone named Jones.
Look, my feeling is they are the Cowboys. This is the most dangerous week of the season to be playing them. I think they're going to play a great game. And look, I think Arthur Smith has done a fantastic job in getting this team to be, because right now you would say that they've got to be leaders in the clubhouse for the seventh seed in the NFC. Who thought? I never thought. I thought they were going to be a bottom five or six team in this league. And so kudos to them, but terrible week to be playing the Cowboys.
Yeah, absolutely. And then coming up for the Cowboys, the Chiefs in Kansas City and Thanksgiving against the Raiders. Some fun Cowboys games on the horizon. We're going to have some fun next with the Show Me Something draft for Week 10. We'll do that when PFT Live continues right after this.
Pro Football Talk is brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the NFL.
What do you got, Daniel Jones? This is a year he's got to develop. Show me something, Daniel Jones. At some point, the quarterback has to lift his team. Show me something, Daniel Jones. This is the kind of game that Daniel Jones has to get right. Show me something, Daniel Jones. This is a game, Daniel Jones, that you were drafted to win. Show me something, Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones will be showing us nothing this weekend. It's the bye for the New York Giants, so we don't have to
worry about it. Wait a second. I haven't spoken yet, Mike.
Okay.
Go ahead. You don't know.
Okay.
All right. Well,
let's get to it.
Show me something. Show me something, Daniel Jones. Show me how to relax during a bye week.
All right, give me your real first pick.
Okay. In my opinion, look, it's an odd one to say show me something, but show me something, Aaron Rodgers. Come back from this horribly debilitating image thing that happened and come back from it and play very well against what I believe will be a major pressure defense. Even though this is a game that everybody says, the Packers ought to win if Rodgers plays. Imagine not having any practice, not doing anything basically for 10 days and going in and playing an NFL game. Show me you're ready, Aaron Rodgers.
Show me something, Dak Prescott. Specifically, show me that last week was indeed an aberration and not a sign of things to come, that the Cowboys we saw before Week 9 are the real Cowboys. Dak Prescott hadn't played for 3 weeks. The calf is now healed. It's not on the injury report at all. He was 19 of 39 last week. They were down 30-0 at one point against an inferior team. You got to show me ability on the field, and you got to show me leadership if things begin to go badly like they did last week against the Broncos.
Show me something, Josh Allen. And I don't mean the Jacksonville defensive end either. Show me something, Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, who goes to Jacksonville and who basically reverts to the old Josh Allen, playing hero ball, throwing a terrible interception late in the game that really ended up hurting Buffalo, and look, that loss to me is on Josh Allen. So you say, well, gee, show me something. He's going to play the Jets. Well, you know, the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets have shown that there's no such thing as a sure thing. So show me something going to the Meadowlands, Josh Allen. Make sure that your offense is reborn and you don't revert to 2019.
I'm going to do something I usually don't do for the show me something draft. I'm going to look ahead to the Monday night game, and I'm going to say show me something, Kyle Shanahan. 19-37 is the record of Shanahan in San Francisco if we remove 2019. As Mike Sando of The Athletic said on Sunday, 2019 is treated as the rule when in reality it's the exception for the 49ers under Shanahan. 8 games under .500, as you've said in the past, and they're still there, even with 2019 included. This is a must-win game on Monday night against a Rams team that is feeling desperate after losing in primetime 8 days earlier. Show me something, Kyle Shanahan, that you can dial it up in a way that matches the reputation that has emerged regarding your skills and abilities.
You know, Mike, somehow, some way, I've started to think to myself that somebody's going to hire Kyle Shanahan for a second head coaching job in the NFL. And I'm not saying he's going to be Bill Belichick after the Browns, but if he does have to have a second act, I think it'll be tremendous. Now, everybody's going to say, blah, 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 blah,
Maybe he'll be Mike Shanahan after the Raiders. Maybe that's what it'll be.
Yeah. Yeah. So. All right. And look, I hate to basically really bang one game a lot, okay? But this Chiefs-Raiders game, show me something, Patrick Mahomes. This is a game that the Kansas City Chiefs, if they fall to 5-5, I'm not saying they won't make the playoffs, but you are on a terrible slide offensively. And Patrick Mahomes, you are the guy. Andy Reid can call whatever plays he wants. You have to make it work. The quarterback has to execute what the coach says. You're a great football player and will be a great football player for a long time. You're in a bad slump right now. You know, you are 0 for 64 and you're the cleanup hitter in game 4 of the World Series. You have got to come through in this game and you've got to beat the sudden arch rival Raiders. Show me something, Patrick Mahomes.
Here's my last one real quickly. Show me anything, Jared Goff. And it's a tall task this week, even though they're coming off their bye. I'm looking at the Pittsburgh forecast for game time. 37 degrees, light rain. Let's check the wind here. Let's see. The wind's going to be around 10 miles an hour. I don't have a lot of faith in Jared Goff, and he still has yet to win a game without Sean McVay as his head coach. I think that continues in Pittsburgh. But show me anything, Jared Goff. We'll take a break and wrap up this Friday edition of PFT Live right after this. The play didn't count, but you know what? Everything counts once it makes its way onto social media. Robert Hunt, internet sensation. Look at that. Look at that. That's better than the Aaron Rodgers photo from 2 weeks ago. Well, close. It's a close second to the Aaron Rodgers photo. There he is. There he is. Going for gold. Over the bar.
Fantastic.
I love it. I'm sure there'll be plenty more. There's more out there. That's the one that we have for now. Peter, we don't have much time. Do you have an upset pick you like this week?
Mike, is it an upset, really, in that Kansas City? Give me the line on the Kansas City Raiders game.
I think it's Raiders' very slim favorite, I think.
All right, I'm going to take Kansas City in that game. Even though I think the Raiders are a better team right now, Kansas City gets it together and figures a way to win one game. That's what Andy Reid's mantra is going to be, win one game.
And I agree with you. I think the Chiefs will win that game. And also, I think that the Jaguars getting 10 in Indianapolis is way too much. Not that the Jaguars are going to get to 2 in a row, but that team that played on Sunday, I don't think is going to get blown out by anybody at this point, but we'll see. They got blown out by the Seahawks a couple of weeks ago. You never know. That's the thing. It's great for fans. It's horrible for those of us who are expected to know what the hell is going to happen, because last week and last night proved us, Peter, we don't know what the hell is going to happen.
We have no clue.
I am very certain about what's going to happen
now. We've just spent 2 hours saying we have no clue. The
show's going to end. See you Monday.
The
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.